Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We've got a bucket full of sports news for you today, and I'm happy to be in the studio here for the next few days sitting in for Sunny. We'll be talking about the lead up to the big sports story of the moment here in the United States, both this week and next. And that's the 53rd edition of the National Football League's Super Bowl. The game kicks off two Sundays from now and features the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams in Atlanta, Georgia. Our Voice of America colleague Jim Stevenson gets us caught up on how the Rams and Patriots qualified for the big game in his The Game Room podcast. Jim also has news from the Australian Open and professional golf. Take it away, Jim.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. Stefanos Tsitsipas is becoming a giant killer on the tennis court as the young Greek heartthrob has realized he can play with the best at the Australian Open in Melbourne.
You have a bigger picture of your opponent when he's going to come out, and you think that he's going to do some extraordinary things. And what I realized recently that your opponent feels the exact same thing like you feel. So it's a pretty balanced match, but the difference is who's going to press more and be more aggressive than the other. But I did surprise a little bit myself with my performance.
Tsitsipas knocked out defending champion Roger Federer of Switzerland on the way to the semifinals. Perhaps the greatest player of all time, says Tsitsipas is on the right path to becoming one of the game's best.
He's definitely, done a really nice job now, the last year and a half. Before that too, obviously, but, beating Novak in Toronto and likes of Anderson and Zverev and now me here. That's what you need to do to get to the next level, and he's doing that, so it's really nice for him, and I see him definitely, being high up in the game for a long time.
Tsitsipas doesn't have a feel for how popular he's become in Greece.
Only thing I've seen is some posts, some magazine photos, but I really want to know what it is back there, how it is back there.
And the 20-year-old rising star is staying emotionally grounded.
It's nice to be having those nice results, but most importantly, it's important to stay who you are and not think too much of yourself.
Tsitsipas has something the older players have lost: long, flowing hair.
That's why I wear a headband. Otherwise, I would be in huge trouble during a match. I like it. It's my trademark. It's my signature. I'm gonna keep it. I'll tell you that.
Spanish great Rafael Nadal also reached the semis and is well aware his opponents are all increasingly younger.
I know they are good. I know that they will be fighting for the most important things during the next couple of years. So I don't take it that way. I just take it like a difficult match against players that they have a lot of energy. So that's all. It's another match, and it's a difficult match, and I try to do my thing and do it well to try to give myself the chance to be through.
Nadal is continuing from a great season in 2018, which makes him happy.
I really did a lot of things well during the whole week, and for me, it's so special to be back where I am today. It means that I started the season in a good way again, and that's very, very positive for me, of course.
Among the women, Serena Williams remains unstoppable, ousting world number one Simona Halep of Romania.
She was literally lifted her game to a new level, and I kind of stayed at the same level, and I should have lifted my game as well. But it's a part of this journey on my way back. Like I was saying, it's 10 months, so I can't be too upset at myself. I felt like I did have an opportunity to win that in straight sets, but then I'm playing the number one player in the world.
Serena feels she's regaining her form.
I think overall I'm solid. I can definitely go to a new level. I have to if I want to stay in the tournament.
But Serena fell to Karolina Pliskova, who saved four match points to reach the semifinal round, 6-4, 4-6, 7-5. American Danielle Collins has been the tournament surprise, and she's enjoying the ride.
This has all been a really incredible experience, and obviously it's my first time playing main draw here in Australia, so I think that's a little bit new to me. This time last year I was playing a challenger in Newport Beach, but yeah, I think I'm really embracing it, and it makes it a lot easier when you play in front of great fans and really good energy.
Petra Kvitova of the Czech Republic is also having one of her best runs at a Grand Slam event.
I never really, you know, played so well on the Grand Slam, so I'm happy that this time it's different, and I'm really enjoying it.
Although Naomi Osaka of Japan has the experience of winning the U.S. Open, she is still learning about the environment at Grand Slam tournaments. Like finding out there are cameras everywhere.
I just thought they had that one camera, like where they call everyone. I thought that was the only one. Okay, you know what? Thank you, because then I won't do anything that's like, you know, bad.
The Los Angeles Rams and New England Patriots are the last two teams standing on the long road to Super Bowl 53. Both won on the road in their respective conference championships. Both won in overtime, the first time ever each semifinal went to extra time.
I was probably as excited as I've been in a long time.
41-year-old Tom Brady, the oldest active quarterback in the National Football League, led the New England Patriots to a 37-31 victory over the host Kansas City Chiefs. Although the Patriots are going to their third straight Super Bowl, fourth in 5 years, and 11th in franchise history, Brady says this season has been especially challenging.
The odds were stacked against us, and it hasn't been that way for us for a while, and it certainly was this year. And, you know, we started off so slow, and like I said, the last four games have been our best games.
New England quickly built a 14-point lead before Kansas City came back to tie the game as time expired. Still, Brady liked where his team was in the final quarter.
To be ahead three in the fourth quarter with a chance to win, you know, is pretty sweet. And, you know, they blew so many teams out this year. It's just a great opportunity for us.
To win, Coach Bill Belichick had to surprise the best team in the American Football Conference.
We moved some matchups around today. Tonight we had some different combinations and tried to mix it up on them. And I don't think you can just keep doing the same thing against this team. You've got to try to keep them off balance and got to let them think it's one thing and try to do something else. It's even hard then, but you know, you just can't sit there and do the same thing all night.
Kansas City coach Andy Reid felt the Chiefs always had a chance to win.
This one here where you're in it and to win it right there, that's a tough deal. But gave ourselves every opportunity to do it. And, you know, they got us in overtime.
But he says his young team will definitely be back next year.
This gives us a little bit of what we have looking forward to us in the future. And that's where we'll go after we're done aching here. So, and it's a bright future.
Tom Brady found this win especially satisfying.
I think, you know, when you got 70,000 people cheering against you, it's pretty sweet when you win on the road. And it's a hard thing to do in the NFL. It's certainly a hard thing to do against the first-ranked team, you know, in the conference, who's been playing great all year and certainly play well at home. So we knew it was going to take a lot.
Overtime and controversy settled the National Football Conference Championship as the visiting Los Angeles Rams never led the entire game but still beat the New Orleans Saints 26-23. Playing in just his third season, 24-year-old quarterback Jared Goff found himself behind 13-0 before bringing the Rams back into the game.
We were down 13-0 early and had to throw the ball a lot, and I knew we had to be a little bit aggressive trying to get back in the game, and that's just the way it was. You know, there's a lot of things that I wish I could have back in the passing game for sure that I was hoping wouldn't come back to bite me, and luckily they didn't.
And there was the noise inside the massive New Orleans Superdome.
It was a chaotic game, I think. Just the way the crowd gets into the game, they definitely make an impact and did today, and ultimately we were able to overcome them. They're loud.
L.A. coach Sean McVay, who became the youngest head coach in the NFL at age 30 in 2017, was confident the Rams could play well against the Saints.
There was an expectation, there was a belief that we were coming in here not to just compete with them, but to come win the football game. And we knew it was going to be a great challenge, but the guys stayed the course. It took more than 60 minutes of football than what we thought, but they got it done.
The game took an unexpected turn late in the fourth quarter. when New Orleans was closing in on a probable game-winning score. Rams defender Nickell Robbie Coleman clearly interfered with Saints receiver Tommy Lee Lewis, but the officials called no penalty. It led to the Rams tying the game and then winning in overtime. Saints coach Sean Payton.
They blew the call, and man, there were a lot of opportunities, though, but that call puts it first and 10. We're on an E3 plays, and it's a game-changing call.
Payton is hoping the missed call will lead to a rules change allowing for a video review of such plays.
Just too much at stake. And it's a hard job for those guys because it's happening fast, but I don't know if there was ever a more obvious pass interference call that, you know, here it is, the NFC Championship game. So, tough one to swallow.
It wasn't the only factor that led to New Orleans' loss, but Payton has only one path forward.
So what do you do? You get back up and you start going to work. This will be a tough one for these players, for the coaches. And again, Rams did a great job. It was a well-fought game, hard-fought game.
The winning field goal in overtime sent Jared Goff and the Rams to the Super Bowl.
Definitely went through a whole gamut of emotions when the field goal went in, from, you know, excited to, emotional to, just overwhelmingly happy. And very excited, man. I get to play in the Super Bowl, and we earned it. We deserve it.
After the wild swings of events, how do you feel, Coach McVay?
I have a real big headache right now, Jim, from yelling all day today.
The Rams returned to the Super Bowl for the fourth time, seeking a second Lombardi Trophy after one of the most memorable wins in franchise history.
It really is, Jim, and you're so happy for these players. They continue to battle. They continue to fight. We got two more weeks left, and we'll see if we can end this thing with real big smiles after the next game.
It's not easy to win out here. When you get yourself in position, you just have to go for it and give yourself as many chances as you can. And I'm so grateful that my hard work has paid off here this week.
Irish golfer Shane Lowry ended a four-year title drought with a win in Abu Dhabi at the HSBC Championship.
Oh, it was emotional roller coaster of a day. I was obviously went out in the lead by a few, and then before I knew it, I was four behind. But I was I was brave out there today, and I grounded it well, and I'm just, I'm over the moon.
South African Richard Stern was close and finished one shot behind.
A couple things didn't go my way, and Shane made a couple good putts here and there. On 17 was a great putt, and the shot he hit into 18 was, world class.
Stern had not been in contention for some time.
I'm just glad that I gave a good performance this week with a strong field, and, it's been a while since I've had a decent tournament, so I'm pretty happy with the way I performed.
And the win should help Lowry play in some prominent events.
Oh, it's huge. Look, hopefully, it guarantees me in the world match play in Mexico. It changes my schedule a little bit. It's all good problems to have.
Golfers are gathering at the Omega Dubai Desert Classic, where Shane Lowry is already having a good week after his win in Abu Dhabi.
Last couple of mornings, definitely the morning after you wake up, or the morning after you won when you wake up is pretty nice, and that feeling, it's just something that you'd like to just hold and, keep it with you forever.
Lowry spent time in Dubai ahead of the new season, which seems to work well for him.
The weather's perfect for getting ready for a season, and, we had a great time. We have a lovely house out on the Palm, and we're it's nice out there every evening, just chilling, and then during the day getting to work. So, yeah, it's been lovely, and I can see us definitely doing it again in the future.
It's also a good place for Li Haotong, where the Chinese golfer won last year.
Yeah, it's quite a special feeling for me because only the second time being defending the title, so which is quite happy I can be here again.
Li relived some of last year's win during his practice round.
Pretty much every hole I can still remember every shot from the exactly point.
It's also a very familiar place for Henrik Stenson of Sweden.
I don't think there's any course really on the European Tour I played as much as the Majelis course here at Emirates Golf Club. So, good to be back, see a lot of familiar faces. As always, good weather. Golf course is in good condition and good practice and good food and all the rest, so happy to be back.
He's aiming for a big season.
My main goal is to be contending in one or two majors. I managed to do that last year, even though I didn't have my strongest season. I was still in contention a little bit, especially the US Open, but also at Augusta.
Stenson was the 2007 Dubai winner and says every player will feel the challenge and excitement.
Everyone's going to feel the nerves a little bit, and that's why we practice hard and then play hard to be in that position. It certainly makes you feel alive, and we want to get the blood flowing again.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
Thank you, Jim. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young here in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Sticking with professional golf, one item of note. Today is the return of Tiger Woods on the PGA Tour for this year. He'll be teeing off shortly at the famed Torrey Pines course in San Diego. His rivals, including Henrik Stenson, who we just heard from, say Woods should be seen as a formidable competitor for the next 10 months.
I think what he's done over the years and the career that he's had, it'd be a little bit foolish to say that you don't see him being able to win golf tournaments and have a good comeback when and if he got healthy, and he did. And now I think it's just a question going forward if he can stay healthy and if his body's gonna hold up for the stress that the golf swing puts on it. And if it does that, then yeah, I can see him winning more tournaments for sure.
Let's stick with some more American sports just for a moment. In the National Basketball Association, the Indiana Pacers knocked off the Toronto Raptors on Wednesday night, 110-106, but there was serious bad news for the team. Victor Oladipo, the Pacers' key scorer, left the game with what looked to be a serious knee injury. Oladipo's parents are from Nigeria and Sierra Leone, and he grew up just a few miles away from Washington, D.C. The Associated Press has this report.
The Pacers won a big game against Toronto, 110-106, but in the process lost their best player. Guard Victor Oladipo, averaging 19 points per game, went down late in the second quarter with what the team described as a serious knee injury. He was taken off the court on a stretcher. Thaddeus Young led Indiana in scoring with 23 points and says the loss of Oladipo means the Pacers must not let down.
Whatever it is, whatever has happened, you know, we have to continue to be positive and continue to play games and continue to keep our next man up mentality, but continue to bring him along also and keep him high spirit.
Indiana has won three straight while Toronto had a three-game winning streak snapped. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
Thank you, Tom. We'll let you know when we hear more about Oladipo. One more NBA nugget. James Harden, the do-it-all guard for the Houston Rockets, lifted his squad to a 114-110 win over the New York Knicks at the famed Madison Square Garden. Harden scored a career-high 61 points, helped by 22 free throws, matching Kobe Bryant's mark for the most points scored by a visiting player at the new Garden. It was his fifth game this year with over 50 points. We'll spin the globe back to the Southern Hemisphere now, where Craig Gabriel catches us up on the hot action at the Australian Open, where the women's finals have been set and the men's semis are about to kick off. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Adrian Cronauer from Good Morning Vietnam would have been perfect in explaining how hot it is in Melbourne as the mercury climbed past 40 degrees Celsius. At the top of his lungs, he would have yelled, "It's hot, damn hot." So hot that the heat rule came into force and the roof over the Rod Laver Arena was closed, and under the roof, the Australian Open women's final was set, and Petra Kvitova will be playing Naomi Osaka, and it'll be a first-time meeting. Kvitova was first through as she dismissed unseeded American Danielle Collins, who's been the surprise packet, 7-6, 6-love. In the second set, there were a couple of technical issues with on-court electronics, and they seemed to disrupt Collins just a bit. And Osaka defeated Karolina Pliskova, 6-2, 4-6, 6-4. Pliskova had beaten Serena Williams in the previous round. Osaka has now won 59 consecutive matches after winning the first set, and she's in her second consecutive final at the majors, having won the US Open last September. She powered down 15 aces, with the last one being the sweetest of all. It was on match point.
And Rafa Nadal has reached the final for the fifth time, and to say he was emphatic would be an understatement. Nadal dominated and gave 20-year-old Stefanos Tsitsipas zero chances. The match was 1 hour 46 minutes and ended 6-2, 6-4, 6-love. When Nadal broke serve in the second, he was on a run of 9 straight games. This was a masterclass from the Spaniard, and he'll play Novak Djokovic or Luka Pui. That match set for Friday. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We'll have more from Craig on Friday's show. Now let's move to this bit of soccer news. My colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with a story about one of the world's most famous retired players, David Beckham, who looks to be entering a business deal with some of his former Manchester United teammates. As you know, Beckham is involved in the Miami franchise of Major League Soccer here in the United States, which is set to take the field for the 2020 season. In news much closer to Beckham's original home, he said he's buying a stake in a small English club. Here's Gwen with more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. David Beckham is on track to take a 10% stake in Salford City, currently third in the fifth division of English football. He'll add his name alongside former Manchester United teammates and Singapore businessman Peter Lim. In a video statement, Beckham said he's wanted to invest in Salford for a long time.
I've been waiting for a while for it to happen because when obviously the lads got involved with Salford, we all spoke about us all being involved, but you know, it's been 5 years of trying to get the team in Miami going, and now it's finally on its way. Now I'm able to get involved. Seeing the stories, seeing what they've done with the club, the stadium, and obviously having Peter is a huge part of this. It's a special group of people to now be part of this incredible team. It's going to be exciting. We all have ambitions and we all have goals, and you have to have big ones and reach for the sky. It's where I grew up, really. So I've got such great and fond memories. And when all of us are sat watching our team, it's going to be a proud moment.
Beckham is referring to fellow stakeholders Phil and Gary Neville, Ryan Giggs, Nicky Butt, and Paul Scholes. Gary Neville serves as head of the group, and at a Wednesday news conference, he spoke about the importance of putting their money back into football.
You know, we could put our money into many different things. We've chosen to put it back into a football club in the northwest of England, and we think that is a positive. And the end game is that we want to try and progress the football club as much as we possibly can. We're in the first 5 years of our ownership. So far, it's been a success. We now enter into a new chapter in the next 3 or 4 years where we have a major fight on our hands to get into the Football League and get out of the National League, which is a major challenge.
And Neville says it was important to also include businessman Peter Lim, who owns the majority share of 40%.
We are risk takers. We are bold. Peter gives us that ability to be bold as well, in respect of what his thinking is in terms of making sure that we try and progress the Football League in the quickest possible time. We obviously know how difficult that's going to be. We've had major battles over the last 3 or 4 years to win promotions. It's not easy.
A Salford promotion this season could elevate them to the Football League Two for the first time in their history. None of the stakeholders will have a hands-on role in the club, but Gary Neville says he hopes Salford will follow the path of Bournemouth, who climbed four divisions to the Premier League.
Of course, our dream would be always to try and take the club as far as we possibly can, but I think the next step is just getting into the Football League. That was always the sort of base one, if you like, just getting into the Football League. And we know how difficult that is. It would be an absolute dream if we could become a Premier League club. We often look at, say, which club could we be? Look at, say, Bournemouth, who've got maybe 10,000 people watching them, and you have that ambition.
In the meantime, David Beckham must first be approved by the Football Association before his co-ownership is made official. He and Gary Neville plan to attend a Salford game in the coming weeks. And that's all from me. Back over to you, Dan.
Thank you, Gwen. Always great to have you on the show. And for those listeners who don't know where Salford is, it's a short drive away from Manchester, which shows why these players were interested in that team. And that wraps up the January 24th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Workinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedell, in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable.
Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
A recent U.S.-Dutch study outlined evidence that the Antarctic ice sheet is losing about 6 times the ice each year than it did back 40 years ago. Now, another new study suggests that accelerating ice melt is also taking place in Greenland, which is mostly located within the Arctic Circle. The study proposes that Greenland ice is melting faster than had been thought and that it could lead to a faster rise in sea level. The researchers place the blame of the accelerated ice loss on what they call the increasing warming of Earth's atmosphere. Since most of southwest Greenland, the area the researchers focused on, doesn't have glaciers, the study proposes that the lost ice must be actual surface ice. The study found that the largest continuous loss of Greenland ice took place from early 2003 to mid-2013. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free, Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.